Good morning, everybody. I missed the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Just as a prelude to the first song, welcome to the Vines United Church. I'm going to ask people, do you know your nationality or your background to your nationality? Have we got anybody here that's not Australian?
How many generations?
Matt, can you shout out what it is?
Well, our father is Slovenia.
Hang on, you need to speak louder, mate.
Well, I was born in Slovenia.
Yeah.
It used to be this old Yugoslavia.
Oh, yes, okay.
It's
sure.
So I was born many, many minutes ago.
So it could be a Yugoslavian background.
Well, no, Slovenia.
Oh, Slovenia, sorry. Okay, that's all right. Now, what was that, Ken? All the way, mate.
The Garden of Eden.
Sorry?
Garden of Eden.
Irene?
All the way north, born in Canada.
Canada? Beautiful. Yes, Steve.
Scotland, no transfer for it.
Good.
Scottish, yeah.
Highlights.
I was born in Argentina.
Argentina? Yeah.
My grandfathers, my dead fathers, were sent out to Argentina.
Oh. You don't look very Argentinian, I've got to tell you.
I'm not Argentinian.
Yeah. Anybody else? Last chance? Charlie?
I'm South African.
South African? Well done. Cool. I've got a Maltese background. The reason I'm asking this is because this song is called He Reigns, and it's all about every type of believer from every country praising God that He reigns. So when we sing it, wherever you're from, just remember we're going to all praise God. Please stand.
Rising from the African plain, shining as yours.
Thank you, Lord, that you are here, that we can praise you, we can worship you, that you do reign, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And we just want to give you praise for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Song of praise, don't you think? Yeah. I can imagine people saying that and singing that in heaven, don't you? Just as a call to worship, I remember back in the mid-80s, I was working with this chap whose name escapes me, unfortunately. But one day he came to me and said he would like to visit me at home. Now, we weren't that good of friends, I suppose, but not that close, but he wanted to come anyway. So I asked him any particular reason, to which he replied, no, no reason. So I didn't think there was any harm, so I just said, yes, come along. Now he was a bit guarded at work, so I wasn't really sure what to expect when he got there, but I certainly wasn't prepared for what it was when he did arrive. The first thing he did was he brought out a Bible. Now I wasn't a believer back then, far, far, far from it. But when I saw the Bible, I thought, oh no, some religious nut. He started telling me about Jesus, his teachings, his death and resurrection. He went right into it. And it meant absolutely nothing to me. He might as well have been speaking in Latin, as far as my understanding of what he was saying. But what I saw in him was special. It took a lot of courage for him to say he's going to come and speak to Jesus about me. And even though I didn't get it then, I saw something in him that really made me wonder, what has this guy got? And that something was the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what the message is about today, recognizing the Holy Spirit in someone and what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into us. Now, of course, the Lord got me down the track, but such is the power of the Holy Spirit to get even a sinner like me. Amazing. So with that, let's go into a prayer of confession, shall we? Shelley's introduced this idea of a confession and an assurance, which I think is a great idea because it's so real in our lives. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I'm sure that there are many, many times where we fall short of doing the will of Christ, of doing the right thing, Lord, abiding by your rule, your regulation, your inbuilt rules within our hearts. And I'm sure, Lord, many times it pains us to recognise once again we have fallen short, we've sinned. So today, Lord, we just bring it to you now. We just present that before you. Your word says if we come before you with earnest, with honesty, that we are genuinely sorry for our sins, then you do forgive us through Jesus dying on the cross. That amazing, amazing sacrifice that he gave his life for us, for our sins, for our punishment. And we do that now, Lord. In this quietness, we give to you our thoughts. Let me now present the assurance. When we confess our sins, God forgives and purifies us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John. He removes our transgressions from as far as the east is to the west. I don't think you get any further than that. Psalm 103. And he transforms our sins from scarlet into white as snow. What a beautiful thought. I love that. Clean, made new. It is a beautiful promise and a great assurance from God. And it's that assurance that we declare today to us, the Vines United Church. Amen. Did you know that Shelley's starting a new group on the 26th of July? It's going to be watching the first season of The Chosen. And it's on a Sunday arvo at 3 p.m. And she's just going through the first seasons. I think it's about 8 times. And you watch the video and then you discuss it afterwards. And I'm sure that will be very, very interesting. So if anybody's interested in that, on the 26th of July, please see Shelley before then. I love Shelley's accent. Is it English? Is it New Zealand? Is it Australian?
New
Zealand. All of that. I love to listen to her speak, actually. Pantry 152 is in need of some foods, and you'll see the list in the grapevine. I won't list them all here now, but please have a look. Just a friendly reminder to wear name tags when we come in. That helps with getting to know each other and also helps with attendance records as well. Shelley is preaching next week, 26th of July. Craft resumes this Thursday. That's correct, isn't it? Yes. 9:30 in the morning it starts. And Richard's Bible study, Richard and Sue, they're on recess until the 9th of September. And that's normally on a Wednesday, arvo, starting at 2:30. So if you're wanting to join that group when they come back, please see Richard or Sue. That's great. And then we have a time now of intercessions, Colin, please.
As I gave thought to I might do today, I came across a prayer that I thought we all ought to share in. It's one that comes from the anthology by Terry Fowler, but it's one that reminds us of how we should exercise the Christian faith, how we should be in the world that's all around us. And so I bring it to you, and I hope you'll appreciate it as I did as I read through it. So let's pray together. The prayer is based on the Old Testament prophet's words from Jeremiah: to know God is to do justice. That you will forgive our preoccupation with belief rather than action, our involvement in the greed, compromise, and hardness of our world, our distrust of those who talk with a strange accent or dress in unusual clothes. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. That you will teach us to recognize the cries of those who are too weak to help themselves. Make us more sensitive to the problems and fears that lie at our door, and strengthen us to face with courage and determination whatever loss, inconvenience, or misunderstanding is needed to put things right. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. That you will rescue our worship this day from trivial issues, narrow horizons, and superficial concerns, and cast down the false gods we have fashioned through prejudice, self-interest, fear, or wishful thinking. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. That you will increase in us spontaneity, friendliness, and insight, so that in times of personal perplexity and difficulty, we may still, as a community, provide the focus for true wisdom, genuine understanding, and quiet optimism. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. That you will strengthen us to do battle against unfair housing, unequal educational opportunities, and narrow sectarian loyalties, and enable us to be appreciative of the things we take for granted, perceptive towards the things we ignore, and fair towards the things against which we rebel. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. God, our destiny, and God of all insight, our true prayers we know will be found in our deepest desires and in the longings that give shape to our dreams. As we put our trust in you, may your passion for life, your desire for our wholeness, your longings for this earth, and ours also, and we, your expectant people. And now we share in the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Colin. I don't know if you remember when David Pryor first came to this church, he used to have a song that they sang in Afghanistan all the time. Their soldiers always wanted this song. It was Rock of Ages, You Will Stand. Do you remember that? Yeah? Well, we're going to sing it now. It'll come back to you as we start. And it's probably best to stand. I'll ask you to stand towards the end, and then the offering stewards, if they can come forward at the end of the song, please. Here we go. One, two, three, four. Thank you for all the things that you give us, the gifts of food, monies, comfort. Oh, there's a myriad of things, Lord, that you so richly offer. And here we are, we just give back a portion of what you've given us in the first place. Please, please, please help us to use it to outreach to this community, to grow this church, so that people would come to know Jesus. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Thanks, guys. And Jackie, thank you.
This morning's readings come from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12, and then verses 18 to 22. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges, and as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord.
The last 3 weeks, Sue and I have had a virus. It's been going around. Has anybody else had it? But it leaves you, poor Ken, it leaves you with this terrible cough. So we've been praying the last week, "Please, Lord, don't let me cough today." So far, it's been great. What an exciting and maybe frightening time it was for Peter and John after Pentecost. It was like the birth of the new church, the Church of Jesus. And those disciples and many others became alive, I guess. They were born again for that very purpose. They wanted to share the gospel, and they just couldn't help but speak. We have to remember, though, prior to Pentecost, they were scared and timid fishermen that had hid behind locked doors on the day that Jesus died. But after Pentecost, they were strong proclaimers of God's word. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and something major happened. They were changed within. They were empowered and equipped with gifts so that they could continue the ministry of Christ. Those 12 men, with strong support from many women and others, would be the ones to establish the new church that would bear the name of Jesus Christ. Such an important event. I guess you could say they were on like a Christian mission, which is really much, pretty much what our church is here today, a Christian mission. But of course, it would be some time later when the people reached a place called Antioch, where they were first called Christians. In the early days, the members of the church were just considered to be Jews who held a belief in Jesus the Messiah. They were commonly known as people of the way. You've probably heard that. And of course, Jesus had earlier said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So it sort of made sense to them. Those 12 men, Matthias had replaced Judas Iscariot at this point, now took on a new name, a new role, if you like. They became apostles, leaders appointed by the Spirit of God and sent into the mission field. The word disciple means follower, whereas an apostle is one who was sent out to do a specific task. So those apostles were no longer just followers, yet in a sense, they still always followed Jesus. Rather, they were now acting as pioneers, as church planters, and as overseers of the early church. They had new gifts of wisdom. They had gifts of healing, and miracles flowed through their ministries. They were teachers of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus, but above all else, those men and women were actually eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus and hearers of all the truths that Jesus taught. Back then, a new season of God's history had begun. We previously heard that on the Pentecost morning, a sound like a rushing wind stirred the city, and what seemed like tongues of fire sat on the heads of the believers. And then a great infilling of the Holy Spirit occurred, just like Jesus had promised. The Father had sent the power from on high to clothe them, to equip them, to empower them. And as a result, the outpouring of the Spirit, both the believers and the entire world, would never be the same again. Those few hours in Jerusalem from 9 o'clock one morning just changed everything. God had come in power from on high. And he now dwelt in all who believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Holy Spirit came for all believers. It's a big deal, guys. Even today, some 2,000 years later, and over 13,000 kilometres away, the world has been shaped by those few hours on that morning. The effects of that first Pentecost morning are still being felt today here in Woodcroft Happy Valley. And in Acts chapters 3 and 4, we find the amazing story of Peter and John going to pray at the temple. And on the way, they encountered a lame man, as we heard in the reading. We are told that this man was over 40 years old. He'd been begging by the temple gate for all of his life and on a regular basis. The Jewish folk went to pray at the temple three times a day. There was 9 a.m., 3 p.m., and at sunset. And it was considered praiseworthy if a Jewish, in the Jewish religion, to give money to beggars. So if you did, you were considered a big deal. So the beggar knew what he was doing. He was placed strategically at the beautiful gate, as it was called, where many people passed that gate to get into the temple, to get to the temple. Jesus had probably walked past him a number of times. Peter and John had almost certainly seen him many times when they went to pray at the temple. And I'm pretty sure they would have had donated to the cause in the past as well. But this day was different. They did stop when the man asked for money. But Peter now, under the power of the Holy Spirit, and by using the name of Jesus as his authority, spoke words of grace and healing over the beggar. And you know what happened, don't you? His lame legs were straightened. He rose, leaping and praising God. What a sight that would have been. After 40 years of seeing this man sitting there on his own. Peter then gave glory to Jesus and boldly proclaimed the gospel. The people in the area rushed to see what was going on. Because by now, Jesus' name had become well known in the area. And different things were happening. This wasn't very popular as far as the temple authorities were concerned. You see, the priests were trying to stop the story of Jesus the Messiah being spread through Jerusalem. So what did they do? They arrested Peter and John and jailed them overnight. The next day they were brought before the high priest and the temple authorities. Now remember, this was the same group that had condemned Jesus to be crucified just a month or so before that. It would have been so confronting for Peter and John. They were asked, by what power, by what name did they heal the beggar? And we are told Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, defended the name of Jesus and spoke courageously about the risen Christ. You know, there are two types of courage. There's reckless courage, which is unaware of the dangers it faces. And there is courage that knows the peril and yet still goes ahead and does it. Still goes ahead, is undaunted by the consequences. Peter's was that type of courage. He not only spoke of Jesus' name, but he reminded them that they were responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. Not doing himself any favours, I'd say, by saying that. But how incredibly brave was that to speak? It must have been so confronting for the religious leaders, especially coming from people of such low social standing, which they were. So they demanded that Peter and John stop their preaching about Jesus. Well, I wish I could have seen the leaders' faces when Peter and John replied. And this is what they said, and perhaps we can all read this together. Shall we do it together? Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speak about what we have seen or heard. And of course, the Jewish leaders couldn't dispute what Peter said, because the Bible tells us the healed beggar was standing right there. They couldn't deny that. Quite amazing. The two fishermen who just a few weeks before had been cowering behind locked doors were now standing up to the same men that crucified Jesus. What a dynamic change those two men displayed. It was literally the gospel in action. Now the gospel was alive. You know, as a child, I grew up in a church that was very traditional and not very appealing, to be quite honest. But it wasn't until I was 35 years old that I encountered the real Jesus. And what I mean by that is when I knew him personally, and that was my Pentecost experience. And of course, all of us are different as to how God calls us. So at 35, I went to a church, the Norlunga Salvos, with no idea what power the Lord had to offer. In fact, you could say that everything I saw from that day on was a new experience to me. Even after doing Christianity Explained, I still wasn't fully aware of the total impact Christ has on one's life. For me, to experience a Pentecost moment was so foreign, and even when I did see it, I wasn't sure that it was real. You may relate to that, I'm not sure. At the Salvos and some of the churches that I visited, I often left that church with questions. Some places were very friendly and yet seemed to lack what I call a spiritual depth, at least how I saw it at that time with my thinking. What I soon realised is that one just cannot manufacture a movement of God. It is purely Holy Spirit led. I understood that, but I was still questioning those Pentecost moments. One time I witnessed and heard someone speaking in tongues. I really wondered, is this for real? Or are they just putting it on? I did question that in my mind. And I'm sure in many churches that is still a very controversial subject. So I guess, like many people, I was wary of folk that said they spoke in tongues. That was until it happened to me. I remember it just happened. I remember going to my pastor and asking her, is this for real? In fact, I did ask, is it from the devil? And her answer was pretty simple. If it's not real, Bill, ask God to take it away. And of course he didn't. I was also wary about people who fell to the floor during a prayer time. A question, were they pushed? Did someone actually push them over and they went? That was until it happened to me. I went forward for prayer. God prayed. I went down under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he never touched me. And then I experienced this amazing peace that just came with it. I did wonder if emotion was being used correctly, or was it being manipulative, which I think you can do, until I saw the fruit of the emotional moments expressed in the services, the good that happened. I wondered if the claims of healing were actually genuine, until I myself prayed for somebody and they were healed. I wondered if this Pentecostal experience was just some weird expression that people made up, until I saw the lives changed through the gifting shown and how the church grew in spiritual fervour. I even wondered if what I saw was outside the true Christian faith that I thought I knew at the time, until I realised that everything I saw was right there in Scripture. It took me a long time to discern God's ways through the Holy Spirit. I also learned that a lot of those powerful moments, at least for me anyway, happen in just a quiet worship or prayer time. And I'm a realist. I know there are charlatans out there, or false prophets, as the Bible describes it. I also know that the world can lead people astray. I think you just got to watch one episode of Married at First Sight, and that'll prove it. The Bible is clear, though, as to how God wants us to go forward with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 is just like a street map to show us. First it says, if people do not have God's Spirit, then they may do things that cause hurt or division. They are ruled by the world, in other words. But to those that believe, those who have received the Holy Spirit, then there are gifts to be shared around. And with those gifts, it says, God is working for the common good. But you've got to ask yourself, what does that really mean? Corinthians says all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives relate to two things. They are serving and working. Did you know the Greek word for serving in this text does mean to serve tea or coffee? But it also means things like serving as an elder or a deacon or a pastoral carer. So there are other gifts that are working gifts. That means putting things in place so that things are achieved, things are done. For Peter and John to devote time to preach, a lot of things had to happen behind the scenes, a lot of serving and working by a lot of people. So all the gifts are needed. And why? Literally for the benefit of the church. And God is behind them all. People have said to me, well, how come I didn't get this gift or that gift? Well, the answer is, all these gifts are given to each one just as the Holy Spirit determines. That's 1 Corinthians. I can't argue with the Holy Spirit. He knows much better than me. I do recognise this, though. The Bible says, to them that are given much, much is required. So we need to be prepared to do a lot of serving and working with the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. I'll ask the guys to come forward, please. Let me assure you today that God loves us. He loves you and he loves me. God desires to be in a rich and full relationship with all of us. He wants us to use the gifts for ours and his common good. You know, for me, the past 35 years as a Christian have been the most incredible years of my life. Sue and I have experienced the wonders of God's grace. We have known God's power. We have known miracles of healing. We have been recipients of the wondrous provision of God. And all of that has been freely given because God drew us to him. Thanks, guys. But I also know almost every day, I still have to seek the help of the Holy Spirit. If I've been too afraid to speak, I need the Holy Spirit. If I've neglected to help when I should have, I need the Holy Spirit. If I've been too busy or too lazy, I need the Holy Spirit. If I need to apologize, I need the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure there are numerous other occasions where we all need the Holy Spirit's help in our lives. So today, I feel led to offer a time of seeking the Holy Spirit's help. As we sing this next song, Holy Spirit Come, please feel free, just in your own minds, to ask Him for help should you need it. He wants to be in our life, guiding, directing, healing, blessing. So as we sing this song, and do remain seated, call out to Him if you need to. God isn't finished with any of us yet. Sure, we may not be where we should be, but we definitely aren't where we used to be. And just like Peter and John, we leave here thinking today, I don't know if this will come up, yes. Can you say it with me? We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Amen. We're going to finish today with the song, Let the Flame Burn Brighter. This is a great song to be able to go out there and be Christ to others. It doesn't mean every single person is an evangelist, but you can be Christ just in your actions. What's that saying? I really want to minister to people. I really want to show Christ to others. And if I have to, I'll even speak it. I'll even speak. In other words, our actions show Christ in others. Please stand as we sing. We too can be part of your ministry on earth to help bring people to Christ, help people know Christ within us, whether that's speaking or not, Lord. However gifting you have given us, allow us to be successful in using those gifts to further your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. Let the flame go right. Oh,